Boker Tov world. So we have an exciting day today because we're starting the new perek. But the problem is that our kapitan has disappeared. How are we going to start the new perek after we here we are. Not only do we have our kapitan, we have our kapitan out in the cold, ready to share a nice, delicious, cold, maybe even rainy day.
13 degrees right now.
Not bad at all.
Could be worse.
Wonderful. Well, you know, not bad. Around here, it's only 30 or so. So, yeah, it's close. Okay, go for it. Amazing. So today we begin a new perek, and I think it requires a little bit of an introduction, because we are going to switch our entire focus away from the Inyanim of Ksuvos and into a completely different sugya of Onesu Mefateh. And of course, if you think about it just for a moment, you'll understand precisely what's going on. But remember that the entire idea of Ksuvos, as we came to understand at the beginning, really revolved around what appeared to be this side point of Shoktu, that the Chachamim were concerned to make certain that the rights of women would be protected, and that the relationship to men would be protected, and that the concept of marriage would be protected. And then remember that on Daf Yud, we got into what the Mokar of the Ksuva is, and we examined the entire idea that related specifically to the Bitula aspect of Ketuvah versus the almana, and we understood the nature of the betula being very special in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's creating the sense of specialness, uniqueness in relationship, which we need to preserve throughout the entire marriage as being something that is a uniquely meant for each other kind of marriage. And we built that on the amazing din, which the Torah is only merames to, which is kimohar habetulot. We don't even know exactly what that is, but we do know that the mokar of the concept occurs in two places. One is in Mishpatim and one is in Ki Tetze. One has to do with seduction, again, specifically of a betula, and one has to do with rape, specifically of a betula. Now, there is the place where we learn out the concept of Gemara Bitulot, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us already a concept of protecting the uniqueness of Bitulim outside of the entire issue of assault and battery and loss of value. There's all kinds of other things that go into the aspect of the difference between a betula and a bula. I understand that. There's clearly a different level of damages in terms of what her value would have been on the open market as a slave woman. And that's a given. But that has nothing to do with protection of uniqueness and marriage and so on. But the latter idea is introduced by Gzirat HaKatuv in the Torah, which relates profoundly to the concept of marriage and to the concept of its shmira of the marriage that we spoke about in the previous Masechet. Remember that we started off Masechet, the Seder Nashim, with the idea of Yevamot, because that was the one place where the Torah gives you a wife. And therefore, it was similar to the first concept of marriage that was put forth in Gan Eden, which caused so much trouble. Ha'isha asher natata imadi. There's one other place in the Torah where you have to take a wife. Now, it's not the same as giving you a wife, like in Yevamot, where it's yours without your doing anything, and you have to get out of it by giving chalitza. But there is an unbelievable idea of a rapist who is mechuyev to take his victim as a wife. Now that, where it says, v'lo tiyeh le'isha, lo yuchal, he's not able to even divorce her. I mean, whoever heard of such thing? Once you take a wife, you can't divorce her? So that is the closest thing to a defined nature of a relationship. It's only given in the case of a betula, and it clearly revolves around the idea of mohar, which relates to the idea of the ketuvah of paying and setting aside funds to protect the uniqueness of a woman, and therefore we're not going off into another sugya at all. We are simply going directly to where the mocker is in the Torah of being shamer the rights of a woman in terms of marriage to the point where we won't even allow divorce, in which case she's the boss. What a disaster, right? Complete reversal of the whole idea of rape. And that's precisely why the Torah does this. You want to act as if you have rights, then we'll give her all the rights. And you will end up being the servant, so to speak. You'll take care of her all right. But she's the one who's going to be in charge. And obviously the Loti Elisha is only if she wants it, of course. As we explained, the idea over here is almost clearly the concept of date rape. In other words, they know each other, they're going out and so on, even though that's the place where we understand that she's going to want him. As it's presented in the Torah, it's without any relationship because it says, Ki imtsa ish na'ara betula. But the point is, gentlemen and ladies, that the Torah has given us a very profound understanding of how we need to protect the subsequent relationships in the event that there was a violation, specifically of the idea of the uniqueness and freshness of Betulim. And therefore, this is precisely where we'd want to go after we already saw before on Daf Yud. We already saw that the Gemara introduced the concept of where do we get the Ksuba from? And then we went into the difference between the Almana and the Betula and so on. So this is the continuation of our concept, our underlying concept of Shakdu, the underlying concept of the distinction between Betula and Almana, with which the Masechet begins and provides for us a profound insight into how the concept of Betula is uniquely related to marriage and not simply to sexuality. And that's the Pasuk, which insists the Lo Tiyeh Le'Isha Lo Yuchal Le'Shalcha, which means that it's Nogea Ishut. Now, the opening question that we need to consider, once we understand it in this fashion, is Nish'elet Me'elav. It's the most natural question that you would ask. And that is, what if the particular rape that we were talking about, which would involve a betula, would not involve marriage? Can we separate out the issues of the protection of the betula from its relationship to marriage? How would that be? Very simple. What if the rape victim was a woman that he's not allowed to marry? Uh-oh. So then you cannot be Mekayim the Velo Tiyeh Le'Isha. So then does that mean that the entire Parsha is Bato? Because it was all built around the idea of how subsequently the marriage is going to work out? Or can we separate out the issues of the Knas, which are themselves an expression of the concern for an additional protection? And remember that this is a very profound understanding in which the Torah gives us a way to parse the issues, gentlemen. In terms of the contemporary world and the inability to think and the complete breakdown of any real relationship to human sexuality and to marriage and so on, is absolutely beyond belief. So rape has become some type of magical issue in which everything is smooshed together. In the Torah, every last aspect of rape is a separate issue. Obviously, there's Nezek, there's Tsar, there's Boshes, there's Shevet, whatever. I understand. Those are all no different than any assault of any kind. And therefore, in exactly the same way, there's no particular meaning to an assault on one part of the body and any other part of the body. If you're talking about broomsticks, it's again the same sickness. So what's the difference whether you damage her nose or her ear or her vagina? I mean, it's absurd. But and really, when you think about it, I mean, what kind of weird people? But when you're talking about the aspect of sexual violation, it's a completely different issue. First, let's view it as a broomstick. Okay, have we settled on the $1 million settlement for her embarrassment and so on and so forth? Yes, okay, now let's move on to something special and unique, which has to do with sexuality. There the Torah is mavdil completely, presents the concept of knas, presents the concept of your responsibility for her for the rest of her life, if she wants, and for her taking over your life. That's incredible. You understand how much more profound, how clear, how I mean, it's mamish mind-boggling. It tears your heart apart to see what it is that humanity has done with the richness that's provided them without the guidance of the Torah to tell you, am I just sick? That's all. Anyway, so Memela, our Mishnah, immediately sets up this problem. What would be the din in the event that she is not Ru'uya, which means that we would have to completely separate out the issues from marriage, and that would mean that we have three separate issues. So we have assault issues that we need to talk about, we have marital issues that we have to talk about, and we have sexual issues that we have to talk about. Is that last thing real, that we could separate out sexual issues qua sexual versus marriage? Well, that's what our Mishnah introduces. And the Mishnah indeed points out to us that the Parsha consists of two different points. One has to do with marriage and one has to do with sex. And they're not the same. We have to learn this, of course, out of the Pasuk. Where will we get this idea on our own? And that's what the Gemara is going to do today. So before we begin, let's go over the two Parshas in the Torah, in Mishpatim and in Ki Tetzeh, and let us take a look at the Lashon, because we're going to be medayik the Lashon in these Pesukim. You know, we have before, you'll remember from Daf Yud, we have before, and let's start from Mishpatim. So Mishpatim talks about seduction, which is pitui, mifateh. So there's a big difference in the story of mifateh. A number of important differences. Number one, the din of the pitui, in which there is a payment of knas as well, the payment will only go to the father. If for some reason the father is not able to take that payment, we'll talk about cases where he's lost rishus over and so on, because of the fact that we're talking about a seduction, the seduction itself is her mechila on any payment. I mean, if she's saying, yeah, let's sleep together, so then obviously she can't come and say, all right, now we're going to sue you. That's ridiculous. So the aspect of her which is involved with her father, who still retains rishus over her, could have gotten a good husband for her and so on, that affects the father, and that is separate from what affects her. There's another big difference, which is that in a rape, which is violent, there is a different aspect of tsar. Now, obviously, when she is interested in the sex, then you can't go ahead and claim you hurt me. Well, thank you very much. You know, I mean, that's what this is about. So over there also, we can't talk about tsar either in terms of the physical interrelationship of the tsar. It's completely different, a violation and a willingness. So those are the two big differences. However, the two parshas are deeply related, as we saw earlier, and we're going to examine again today in detail the interrelationship of the two parshas through Gzeirah Shavah, and how it is that we learn out the dinim of one from the other. So the pasuk of the mefateh in Mishpatim goes like this: V'chi yefateh ish betula asher lo orasa v'shachavima mohor yimharena lo leisha. So then, kesev yishkol kumar habitulot. All right, so if somebody seduces a betula who was not an eishes ish, there was no erisin, there was no problem of a chiyuv misa that would have been involved, so then he has to be moher lo leisha, which means that he's going to protect her as an isha as well. That would be the basis of our idea of the ketubah. If her father refuses, now obviously she can refuse, as we'll see, but if her father refuses to allow that no good nick who seduced my daughter, he refuses to allow them to get married, a situation not unheard of, so then he will have to pay a knas. So kesef yishko kumara betulot. Then when we come to Ki Tetzeh, we learn, so now we're in the same situation, except over here he's not mifateh. He finds her, vitfasa, so he grabs her forcefully, vishachavima, vinimtsau, vinatan haisha shochevima la'avi ha'na'ara chamishim kasef, Velo tiye leisha tachat asher ina. Yeah, you want to go ahead and force yourself on her? Very good. Force yourself on her forever, you jerk. Lo yuchal sholcha koyamav. Now you'll never be able to get rid of her. I'll teach you. I'll be the last woman you'll rape. So the idea over here is that they seem to be deeply related. But if you take a look more closely, you see that actually one explains what's missing in the other. Because in Mishpatim, by the Mefateh, it said Kesev Yishkol. Yishkol comes from the word for Shkalim. But it doesn't say how much Kesev Yishkol. And then in the case in Kitetzeh of the actual Ma'anes, the rapist, over there it says Beferish Chamishim Kesev. But it doesn't say what monetary units. Put the two together, and you've got Chamishim Shkalim, which equals the 200 zuz of the Ksuva, of the Besula, which now becomes the Mohar Yim Harena. Amazing. So lovely. Mamish. Pure poetry. Just poetry. Yeah, hard to just go on with a prosaic life and the insanity out there when there's such poetry right there in your daf, no? It's amazing. Mamish. Okay. So we start the Halakha Mishnah, Elu Na'arot Sheyesh Lahem Knas. Oh, wait a second. Elu Na'arot. Now, that's very important.
He did.
I didn't include Barneas that show up late and so on. That's Bechlal not included, obviously. That's a T'nai in every daf. So, Elu Na'arot Sheyesh, you've been waiting for your big minute. Ha, ha, ha. This will teach you. It'll be the last daf that you'll do that to, right? Perfect for our daf. Actually, I think lo yuchal la'agia bi'ichur kol yamav. So, the first interesting point over here is that it says na'arot. Now, of course, na'arot is a very limited time period because the time of na'arut is from the moment of puberty, which requires two things. She has to be 12 years old, and she has to produce actual pubic hair in order to be puberty. And then we have 6 months. All of this we're going to be discussing. We have 6 months during which period she's considered to be a nara. Subsequently, she's a bogeret, and that means that she is now on her own. She's no different than anybody else. She's an adult. So what the Mishnah seems to be saying is that only a nara, that brief period, has the knas that we're talking about. Well, let's say if she would be a ketana, then she wouldn't have knas, which is interesting. That turns out to be a big machlokas, which we're going to be getting to later. So, elu na'arot sheyesh lahem knas. Habala mamzeret, ala netina, v'ala kutit. Now, surprisingly, instead of just saying whatever, I mean, it doesn't even mention one normal woman. It only mentions a woman who's got some kind of problem. She's a mamzeret, she's a netina. Remember, netina, we had big machlokas and the word netina, of course, comes from that Yoshua natnam. He gave them over to be the avodim for the Beis Hamikdash and so on, or for the Levium. But the question is whether did they retain the iser of coming from the Shiva Amamim or not. So that's a machlokas, whether there is an iser actually in having relations with a netina d'oraita. Was the gezerah a gezerah against marriage, or was it a gezerah specifically about keeping them in a state of avodim? If there was an iser, there are many rishonim who hold that iser is not an iser olam, because where the Torah asers taking someone, the lo titchaten bam of the Shiva Amamim, it always says, for how many dorot? Dor shlishi, dor avi'i, ad dor asiri. I mean, like, here it doesn't say anything about that. So there are some rishonim that indeed learn, yes, they were usher, but only for one generation. Then afterwards, there is no iser. So we have many, many variations. Maybe an iser drabonan, it may be an iser d'oraisa, and it may have been an iser d'oraisa once, but no longer. In any event, we're including netina, as we always do with mamzeret. And al hakutit, the kutit is a little bit of an issue because Rashi says over here, the kutit, the Tana holds that a kutit is gerei arayot, not with an ayin, with an olive. Rawr. This is in case you're with Akiva and you mistake the lines for lines. And that was an amazing day. And so all of these cases, according to Rashi, if they are lions, meaning that they've been attacked by lions and they weren't really interested in Geirut, so l'chora they should be goyim. So how could a kutit mean that? So the truth is that Rashi himself says elsewhere that even if you hold their geri arayot, it doesn't mean that they're not Jewish. If they are Jewish and they're geri arayot, then it's usher to sleep with them. And so this is already a big sugya. I don't think we should get into it over here. We've talked about the question of kutit many times in many different gemaras. Let's move on. But the point is, you'll notice it doesn't say one word about a normal woman. I mean, the gemara is going to ask, what in the world? Why doesn't it say a woman? You know, and the gemara, of course, will give the obvious answer that we're talking. Obviously, it talks about normal woman. The question is, as we introduced it, is this intimately involved with the ability to have a sustainable marriage or not? Is the Loti Elisha definitive adult sugya? That's a different question. So the Mishnah is coming to address that issue. You're not going to be able to have a sustainable marriage with these people. And therefore, maybe the Gemara, by the way, will ask later on, why not? Why don't we say Esedocha Lotase? That since the Torah says you have to take her for a wife, so maybe you should take her for a wife, even if she's a mamzeret. All of these things were, I mean, all these women are mamzerets, the ones that are going to be in charge, right? By definition. So if that's the case, why shouldn't you just take it? The Gemara is going to answer that and point out that there's a major difference between a case where an iser can be, a mitzvah rather, can be changed by you, by the people that are involved, and that there we don't say, asidoch alotase. In other words, what are we going to say? That she can demand to be taken even though she's a mamzeret? I mean, we say to her, listen, all you need to do is to say you don't like the guy, you don't want him to marry you, and now there's no mitzvah. That kind of mitzvah is not decha, lo itasa. Okay, but we'll talk about that later. But in any event, the point over here would be, we do not have, and you'll see why I'm using the word sustainable marriage, which is a machlokas in the Gemara, but let's let it pass for now. So even those women is what it's coming to say. Even those women that you're not going to be able to marry, nonetheless, you're going to be able to be mitchayev knas in Bezdin. Now, what about habala giyoret, vala shvuya, vala shivcha? Now, over here, remember, we have a problem of it has to be a bitula. It's not only that it has to be velo tiela isha, but she's supposed to be a bitula. Can she be a bitula if she comes from a society which is completely hefker and all the kids are having sex all the time anyway? So we're talking about a case of a shivcha or a shvuya. Or for that matter, that's our view of the Goyish society, so that none of them should be bitulot. But remember that we also have this question about bitulot being reconstitutable if the child is young enough. And that's exactly what we need to take into consideration here. So if they're less than 3 years old, pachutot mibnot shlosh shanim v'yom echad, that is included because she is currently, I don't care how much she has been having these acts of intercourse, but they haven't affected her status of a bitula. Haba al achoto, but what about cases where there is a chiyuv karet? What would be the din over there? So a guy sleeps with his sister or with his father's sister in a rape situation, or on his mother's sister, or on his wife's sister, or his brother's wife. Now, obviously, his brother's wife would be an Eshet Ish, and an Eshet Ish would not be a question of a Chiyuv Karet, it would be a question of a Chiyuv Mita. And then we would get into what? Sir Richard, come lay bit of Rabba Minei. So therefore, we don't want to talk about a case like that because the Mishnah is coming to tell me where you would be chayev, even though there's an iser. And that would not involve an Eshes Ish. So obviously, we're talking about over here where what? The brother died? If the brother died, so then she could be a yavama. So maybe he's got a mitzvah to take her. How could he be chayev in this case? So obviously, we'd have to be talking about a case where they were divorced. Brother had divorced his wife. Or from Erisin, of course, because otherwise she wouldn't be a bitula. So, or he might have children from another woman, in which case she wouldn't be a yavama. Okay, but whatever the case is, we're talking about that they're not currently married. So it's Eshet Achiv, or it could be Eshet Achi Aviv, who also would have divorced his wife before consummating the marriage. Or, for that matter, on Anita. So he sleeps with this girl, it's probably Anita, you know, so wouldn't there be a Chiyuv Kares? So why would we say that there's a chiyuv? Because it's not a chiyuv of misa. Yesh la knas. That's the point. And af apish ein bihi karet, ein behem mitat beitin. So since there's no chiyuv misa, therefore the halacha is that there is a chiyuv. Now, obviously, you will recall that we've had before machlokas about whether Karis is Kamisa, Lagabi, the Haya Osei, Yom HaKippurim, Kishabas, Lame. We're going to be getting into all of that, of the Shitas that hold that there's a din of Kamalek, the Duraba Mine, even in cases of Karet. Says the Gemara, what in the world? The Mishnah is telling us that only women that have problems get a Knas? A Mamzeret, a Netina, a Kuti? You mean a normal woman doesn't get a Knas? Ah, oh, come on, man. Achikama. Elu Narot Pesulot Shiyeshlem Knas. There are even women that are psulos, but there's no dinner coming like the rabbi mine, and therefore they still have a knas. That's the way to understand it. Well, the other thing that interests me is the opening word, narot, elu narot. Does she have to be a nara? I mean, what if she would be a ktana? The Mishnah is clearly saying that only a nara gets a knas. Now, I know that's a big machlokas, mantana, omrevyut hamarav. Well, the Mishnah goes, Aliba to Rabbi Meir. Remember the famous sheet of Rabbi Meir, that there is actually a juxtaposition of precise opposites. Wherever there's a mitzvah chiyav of knas, there is no chiyav at all of, no ability of mechira. Because you go out to freedom the moment that she produces simanim, right? She's yotze b'simanim of a puberty. So as a nara, she can't be sold. Then where she can be sold, so then she doesn't have knas because she's a ktana. That's Rabbi Meir's vision of the interrelationship of the two sugyas. So therefore, what we say is that ktana mi bat yom echad vach tavish de sarot. So from the day that she's born until she becomes a nara, yesh la mechar, her father can sell her. But if she's raped, there is no knas. From the time Ishtavishte Sarot, where she would go out, even if he had sold her, obviously he can't sell her anymore, Va'achati Bogar for 6 months, until she's a Bogaret, there is a din of knas in either an Ones and a Fateh, but her father doesn't have rights to sell her. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Shaya Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol Makom Sheyesh Mecher Ein Knas, V'Kol Makom Sheyesh Knas Ein Mecher. So these two sugyas are actually precise opposites. And the Chachomim Omrim, Ketana, not true, say the Chachomim, from the time that she's Bat Shalosh Shanim. I mean, look, obviously, before that, so then we don't consider her to have lost anything by being raped because she doesn't lose her Betulim. But once she's Bat Shalosh Shanim, the Yom Echad, where she has a din of a Betula, until she becomes a full Bogeret, she certainly does have a Knas. So we see that Rabbi Meir is the sheet of our Mishnah. The Mishnah says only a Nara. By the way, are the Chachomim saying that she only has a Knas? I mean, were they like Rabbi Meir, in which they're opposites? They're saying Yesh la Knas, but there's no Mecher? I mean, that can't be, because the Din of Mecher is Bedavka before she becomes a Gedola, no? Obviously, they don't mean to say the opposite of Rabbi Meir. That's silly. I mean, what they're saying is that she has Ema. What it's really saying is that she also has Knas. I mean, they're adding to Rabbi Meir that Af Knas B'mokom Mecher. They're only telling you, well, what Rabbi Meir said, that part is wrong. She does have a Knas. I mean, obviously she has Mecher too. But wait a minute. How could any, now here's the big point, and this is why we've been talking about this, says the Gemara. How could there be a Knas if the whole sugya says, v'lo tiye li'isha? So doesn't that define what we're talking about? Ikre kan v'lo tiye li'isha, and she cannot be married because she's not isha haru'uyalo. She is not an appropriate wife. Amarish Lakish, let us look more carefully at these psukim. If you take a look, and let's take a look at both of these psukim, the ones by the Me'anes and the one of the Mefateh, because we're going to be dealing with them in detail in a moment. So we might as well take a look at both of them and note why they seem to provide us additional material. Ki imtza ish na'ara betula, then v'natan ha'ish ha'shochev ima la'avi ha'na'ara. Now, all it needed to say was La Aviha. Why does it say La Aviha Na'ara? Obviously, we're talking about that person. Use a pronoun. Why do you have to say the whole thing over again? So that means that we essentially have a completely extra word, Ha-Na'ara. And that word of Ha-Na'ara consists also of an extra hey that is not necessary. And therefore, what we really have is three mentions of Na'ara. Na'ara, Na'ara, Ha-Na'ara. The same thing is true in the story of the Mefata in Mishpatim. Over there it says, V'chiyifate ish bitula. Then, it should simply say, if it says habitulot, here too we have bitula, bitula, habitula. So in each case, we have basically three words to be dorish. Obviously, one is going to be lagufa in all such cases. It comes to tell me the essential halacha, and then there's these additions that we have to be medayin. So first, we take a very simple view of the matter, and we think that we can just deal with a pusik at a time. So we think that we've got a machlokas. What's the machlokas? Reish Lakish says, well, if you take a look at the word na'ara, na'ara, and ha-na'ara, that gives us all of this. This is all by one, sikiteitse. That gives you extra words. So one na'ara comes to tell me the din, that there's a chiyuv of being ma'anes and na'ara. Then there's an additional na'ara to include even chayve lavim, even though there's no lo tiyele isha. And then even a bigger chiddush one comes to include even chiyuve karet, where you would say, I mean, it's not even shayach ishut on karet, and afal pikein, there is a din. From those extra psukim, what do we learn out? That we need to separate the issues in the parsha into three different elements. One is the assault aspects, which are all the arba dvarim that you normally would have to pay. One is the sexual element, which is even if there's no marital issue. And one is the marital element. So there's three different issues, and the Torah includes this by telling it to us with these extra psukim. Whereas Rav Papa said, no, I don't like that. I mean, that's what we think. That Rav Papa is saying, I don't like that. I have an alternative. And Rav Papa's alternative is to look at Mishpatim instead of Kiteitse. And Rav Papa says, I see this from the three mentions of Bitula. I do the same thing. So it's a Bitula, Bitulot, Habitulot. So I say the same thing. One is Lugufe. One is to tell me Chayve Lavim. One is to tell me Chiyuve Karet. And we are going to see that the din of the ones and the mefateh are compared to each other in the Torah, and whatever is true of one is true of the other, and therefore it doesn't really matter whether we're going to learn it from Kiteitse, we're going to learn it from Mishpatim, and therefore it's strange. I mean, Reish Lakish could have said what Rav Papa said, and Rav Papa could have said what Reish Lakish says, so let's examine that. What does Rav Papa have against learning it out from the Na'ara, Ha-Na'ara, Na'ara, Na'ara, Ha-Na'ara? Because, says Rav Papa, what do you mean? Everybody knows that that word is not just coming as an extra word, it's coming to tell me a big chiddush. What would happen in a case? Imagine a case like this, that somebody would rape a girl, and we would end up having a situation where normally he would pay kavanah, and the girl dies. Now, the money that's owed is owed daddy, right? Comes along the Torah to say, no, it's owed daddy as long as he is aviha na'ara. But if the Na'ara no longer exists, it's not Aviha Meta. So it's not a normal case in which I am the one who suffered. You're not the one who suffered. You are the one who is the father of the one who suffered. If she is no longer there, then forget about you. So that's a very important limud, but it takes up one of our Na'arot, so we can't learn it from there, says Rav Papa. That's why, Dom Rabaye, Ba Aleha Umeta Patur. Okay, so that explains very well why Rav Papa would like to go to the Bitula, Bitula, Habitulat. But why didn't Reish Lakish do that? I mean, wouldn't he want to keep the same din? We're going to ask, what does he do with Abaye? No, says the Gemara. Reish Lakish says, one of those bitulot is needed for the gzeir shava between the din of ones and mefata, which allows us to learn out the shekel in one, yishkol, and the chamishim from the other. And we could put it together, too. Chamishim, kesev, bishkalim. Great. So now we know both the owners and the mafata have the same din of knas, and that is chamishim shekel. So I need one of those words to keep it free, because you can't make gzereshava if there's anything to ask about it. You can't make gzereshava from a word that is not extra. So that's called mufna. We need at least to be mufna mitzad echad. So we have it mufna from the tzad of betula. So I need that. Okay. And where does it say that? Because the Braita said, we had this before, Kesef Yishko Kemora Betulot, Shiyehe Zeh Kemora Betulot, Umora Betulot, Kezeh. So in other words, we need to know that it's Chamishim, and we need to know that it's Shkalim. Put the two together, and we have the amount of Knas. Great. Reish Lakish says, I don't understand, but doesn't Reish Lakish agree to Abaye? Doesn't he agree that it's Aviha Nara Velo Aviha Meta? So what is he going to do with that? And doesn't Rav Papa need the Gzera Shava? I don't understand why we're making this a machlokas. I mean, everybody's going to have a problem here. So where in the end do we learn it from? You're right. You're right. We completely misunderstood. What we're talking about over here is complementary limudim, not a machloket. Actually, we need to put together all of the extra words in these two sugyas of ones u'mefata, and they represent alternatives in what the case was, but not alternatives in how to deal with the betula. They're all talking about the same issue. Therefore, total limudim, six psukim, nara, nara, hanara, betula, betulot, habetulot. Gives us six limudim, okay? Let's put it all together and see what we can do with a little creative work if we've got all six. Shita kroiktive. On the one end, we have nara, nara, hanara. On the other end, we have betula, betulot, habetulot. Two of these are needed to tell me the actual din about seduction or about rape. One is to tell me the halacha of Abaye, that the father doesn't have any rights of a victim unless the victim is actually there. And one we said was for the gzera shava, which everybody agrees to. We're still left with two extra words. Okay, that tells us one is for chayve lavim, one is for chayve krisis. I don't care what the extra word is, nara, an extra ha nara, an extra ha betula. The point is, put it all together, and we've got it all together. Chamishim, shekalim, betulot, narot, of all kinds, isurei lavim, isurei koret, and that's basically what Reish Lakish and Rav Papa were coming to say. They weren't coming to argue with each other. Great. Now, one thing is true, though, that the Mishnah seems to be telling us that a certain Tana is wrong. Because the Mishnah that says that there is an ones for girls that are not allowed to be married to you, look, we had a case of a mamzeret, we had the case of your own sister, and nonetheless there is a din of ones, is not like the following shita, the Tanya. V'lo tihiyeh l'isha, Sel Shimon Hatimni, note that word tihiyeh. Now that's a big word, because tihiyeh is the word for kedushin, right? Remember, that has been our yesod all along. Havaya is the lishonos of kedushin always. And therefore, if this is tihiyeh, then that excludes an isha she'ein ba havaya. So an ones would only be chayev if there's at least a possibility of kedushin being chal in the first place. Okay, that certainly is going to exclude an isher kares where kedushin isn't chal on an isher and a woman of kares. Rav Shimon ben Menasya says tihiyeh means more than that. Tihiyeh means sustainable. Tihiyeh doesn't mean shall become, but shall be in a state of. And therefore, according to Rav Shimon ben Menasya, it's not enough that kedushin is chal. It needs to be the kind of marriage that is sustainable, where we don't tell him, okay, the kedushin was chal, but you're going to be forced to divorce her because she's ena ru'uya l'chal. We'll see what the differences are between Shimon HaTimni and Shimon ben Menasya. But in any event, the question is, what does the word tihiyeh mean? Is tihiyeh focused on havaya as an act? Or is tihiyeh focused on a sustainable relationship? Says the Gemara, well, is there like a real difference between them? They're making such a big deal about how to read the word. What's the difference? Amar Rabbi Zera is a big difference. What are you talking about? A mamzeret is an iser lav. It's not an iser karet, right? So an iser lav would be Havaya, because Kedushin is Chal and Yisrei Lavin. It's just not Chal and Yisrei Karet. On the other hand, we're not going to allow them to remain married because she's a Mamzeret. So therefore, that would be a big Nafkamina. Mamzeret v'netinai Kamina. If you hold like Shimon HaTimni, and it's only a question of whether it's possible, the Lihiyot, meaning that it's possible for Kedushin to be Chal. So fine, we do have that over here, Hanami. She's Yeshba Havaya. Kedushin would be Chal in this case. But if you hold like Rashi ben Menashe, says it has to be a sustainable marriage where the Chachamim are not going to come to you and say, you're sorry, sir, but you're going to have to get rid of her. What do you mean? The Torah said, Lo Tiya Lisha. Well, but that doesn't apply in this case. So she's not Ruya Lekaima. Big, big Nafkamina. So in other words, both Shimon HaTimni and Rashi ben Menashe agree that, of course, she has to be Ru'uya. But Ru'uya for what? According to Shimon HaTimni, Ru'uya for Chalos Kedushin. And according to Rav Shimon ben Menashe, she has to be Ru'uya for continued marriage where there's no Isser that is going to be involved. That's a Nafkamina. But wait, says the Gemara, that's not so clear. Because what about according to Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva holds that even Chayvei Lavim ain Kedushin Tovsim b'Chayvei Lavim. Now, I know that we all know already that Shimon HaTimni B'Davka argues in Rabbi Akiva. And he says, no, it's only Isser Kores. That was the whole Machlokas about Mamzeres. Where does Mamzeres come from? And Rabbi Akiva is saying any point where the Kedushin wouldn't be Chal, including Chayvei Lavim. And Shimon HaTimni says, no, ain mamzer, elamich mi ichi of Kores, and so on, right? Okay, so we're not asking according to Shimon HaTimni, but we are asking according to Shimon ben Menashe. We don't know what his opinion is. So we're saying, look, I mean, if you hold of Rabbi Akiva, then what Rabbi Shimon ben Menashe is saying is basically no different from what Shimon HaTimni is saying, because he's making such a big deal about what the word Havaya means. Does Havaya mean Kedushin, or does Havaya mean sustainability? It doesn't make any difference, because if he holds like Rabbi Akiva, anyway, Yisrei Lavim are going to be included. So then what would be the machlokas between, leave it to Rabbi Akiva, what would be the machlokas between Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Shimon ben Menashe? That's the question. There's still a difference. Yes, indeedy. The difference would be an almana lekohen gadol if you hold of Rabbi Simoi. Because, as it says in the Braita, Rabbi Simoi Omer, although it's true that Rabbi Akiva says that any Isser Lav creates mamzerut, that is not true about an almana lekohen gadol. Because since the Torah specifically says, lo yechalel zaro, what does that mean? That the result of such a marriage would only be a kohen who is a halal, but not a mamzer. So the Torah is going out of its way to tell you, Chalalut, he says, but Chilulinu Oseh, but Eino Oseh, Mamzerim. So therefore, there's still a big nafkamina between sustainability for Yisrei Kahuna. Well, what about according to Rabbi Yeshevav? Rabbi Yeshevav says, we need to go out there and demonstrate against Rabbi Akiva. Enough of this, Rabbi Akiva. Bo v'nitzvach al Akiva ben Yosef. What is this? Shaya omer kol she'in lo biyabi Yisrael, havlad mamzer. Any time that there's an Isser, he creates mamzeres. What's with him? What does he want? Half of the country to be mamzerim? This has got to stop now. Anyway, so then he seems to be saying that even if it's just an Isser of a kuhuna Isser, it would also be a mamzer. So then we've run out of differences between Rabbi Shimon ben Menashe in the event that you're going to leave the Rabbi Akiva and Shimon HaTimni. Because according to Rabbi Yeshevav, he holds even an Amon HaKoi Gadol creates Mamzerut. So what's the difference between how we understand the word Havaya, whether we understand it in terms of the act of Kedushin, or we understand it in terms of the permanence and sustainability of the Kedushin? There's still a difference. Aha! The difference would be, in the case where there's no lav at all, there's only a chiyuv atzei. So we're talking about a mitzri and a domi over there, dor revi'i, but not dor shlishi, because that's an isser atzei. And isser abar bichlal atzei is only an atzei. Over there, even according to Rabbi Akiva, there would be no problem, because there's a major difference. So leave it to Rabbi Akiva. Kedushin is chal, but sustainability isn't. And that would be the nafkamina between Shimon ben Menashe and Shimon HaTimni. But wait. Remember back in Yavamis, we went through all of this, and we weren't sure how far Rabbi Yeshevav meant to go. So, Hanicha, if Rabbi Yeshevav was saying his din, only la'afuke, I mean, there's two ways to understand what he said. He might have been talking to Rabbi Simoi, and he might have said that if Rabbi Simoi says that a mamzer, according to Rabbi Akiva, is anything that is an isser, so then if that's true, Rabbi Yeshayahu is saying that, and the idea over here is that even a Kohen, right? That would be what he's, because he's only talking about the case that Rabbi Simoi says is different. So then fine, then there's a big difference. Binogea and Israse. But what if Rabbi Simoi, Rabbi Yeshayahu never even heard Rabbi Simoi? Rabbi Yeshayahu had just come along and said that Rabbi Akiva is outrageous. He's making mamzerim from anybody that you're not allowed to marry. I mean, so then he would be including even an Israse, right? If he's not responding to what it was that was just mentioned, Minakola, sir, Rabbi Akiva, chutz mi'amanu l'kohen gadol. No, says Rabbi Yeshayahu, he makes even that. But what if he wasn't saying no? What if he was just, we had all this back in Yavamas, I hope you remember. So that would include Afil Chai v'Yaseis. Now we've run out of everything. My Binayo, what's the difference between Shimon HaTimni and Shimon and Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya in understanding the concept of Havaya? Ah, there's still a difference. What is that? A Be'ula to a Kohen Gadol. There, even Rabbi Yeshayahu agrees. Why? What's the difference between a Be'ula and a Kohen Gadol, which is an Israse, and any other Israse, like Mitzri Adomi, Mashna? Ah, big difference. Because a Be'ula, the Kohen Gadol, is an absolutely unique and limited Isser. And since it's not an Isra Shava Bekol, the only person who's affected by it is a Kohen Gadol, that does not come under the general rubric of Minakola Sarabi Akiva Mamza. That's for sure not. And therefore, the difference between understanding Havaya as Kedusha and understanding Havaya as actual sustainability would be this one case. Is there a din of knas in the event that it's a be'ula to a Kohen Gadol? Fine. Well, it better be. Because if it isn't, then there's no such thing as a chalal. That's creating the chalalut. Because every single case, even including this one, is actually a case of zona and is not a case of chalalut. So where the heck did the Torah ever say lo yechalel? There's no lo yechalel.